Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. I hope that your week has been off to a great start. I am recording this podcast episode right after the inauguration ceremony of our new president and vice president. And I'm really excited about the history that has been made today as a black woman to have our first female black woman who also identifies as biracial as our new vice president. So I'm really excited. This is a great day. I know that our country has been so divided on a lot of things, but I am prayerful and hopeful that this will be an opportunity for us all to connect over our differences instead of divide over our differences and have an open and willing heart to hear from one another. I was also very proud to hear Amanda Gorman, the youngest inaugural poet in the U.S. history. The poem that she recited was absolutely breathtaking. It was phenomenal, and the poise and the grace in which she spoke and delivered her poetry was awe-inspiring. It was very, very good. And so I'm very hopeful about the direction that we're going, and hope and pray for the beginning of more harmony and love. And with that said, we are still in the beginning of a new year. And in addition to people setting resolutions or goals for themselves, a lot of people are starting to create affirmations, right? They're starting to come up with some sayings that will help them. And here's how you define, one way to define an affirmation. And these are declarations about yourself that are positive and in the present tense. And people use them to change several areas of their lives, like spiritual, financial, health, relationship, academic, career. These affirmations can be created for different areas of your life that you want to improve. From my understanding, affirmations are rooted or based in the law of attraction. And so as Christians, I want to make sure that we develop our affirmations in a way that is aligned with the Word of God. We have to make sure that our affirmations are not based on the universe, but the God who made the universe. We don't want to put our faith in our own ability and our own motivations, because those are things that have limits, right? There are days when we feel motivated and days when we don't feel motivated. There are days when we feel able and capable, and there are days when we don't. And so those are things that are inconsistent just because of our human nature. But overall, the point of affirmations is to think better about yourself so that you can feel better and make better choices. But here is my problem with affirmations. If they are not done properly, affirmations can actually set you back. They can make you feel confused. They can make you question yourself, make you question God. They can keep you stuck and make you feel frustrated. And so my problem with the affirmations is that they're simply not enough, but people promote them like they are magical. But what they're not doing is telling you what else they're doing to make these affirmations effective. And so my goal for our time together today is to give you some tips on what you can do to make your affirmations more effective. Before we jump in, take some time to grab a snack, grab some pen and paper, or open up your notes app so that way you can jot down these tips on ways that you can maximize the effectiveness of your affirmations. Our first tip is to say the affirmations out loud and not just when you're in a certain mood. Okay, we all know that our words are powerful, and the Word of God in Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we hear that often, but I think sometimes people have been frustrated with their affirmations because they are saying them to themselves, right? Well, I am saying these affirmations, but when you talk to them, you find out that what they're really doing is thinking the affirmation, which that's okay too. But if you want to maximize them, you want to practice saying them out loud, right? You want to let your mind and let your spirit hear these things, right? Faith comes by hearing. And so when you say those things out loud, then it allows those things to penetrate deep into your mind, your heart, and your spirit. And I think the challenge is because we're so accustomed to saying negative things out loud that we might feel a little bit embarrassed or silly when it comes to saying the affirmations. Like, I might look stupid or I might sound ridiculous saying these affirmations out loud. But the same way that we criticize ourselves out loud, we also have to lift ourselves up out loud. Okay, so I want you to practice saying your affirmations out loud and not just when you're in a certain mood. So when I've talked to people who have been frustrated, what I'm learning is that people are using the affirmations only when they are upset. But the goal is to repeat them often enough and not just when you are experiencing an unpleasant or uncomfortable emotion. You want to say these things to yourself and about yourself out loud, regardless of how you feel. Okay, so that's tip number one, to say them out loud and not just when you're in a certain mood. The second tip is to put some actions behind the affirmation. Have you ever heard those popular sayings like talk is cheap and don't talk about it, be about it? These types of sayings tell us the importance of actually putting some action behind what we say. So it's not just enough for us to have affirmations if we're not putting any actions behind it. If you look in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, I won't read all of it, but I will read a little bit of it because the same principle applies. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, what good is it if someone claims to have faith but demonstrates no good works to prove it? How could this kind of faith save anyone? For example, if a brother or sister in the faith is poorly clothed and hungry, and you leave them saying, 'Goodbye, I hope you stay warm and have plenty to eat,' but you don't provide them with a coat or even a cup of soup, what good is your faith? So then, faith that doesn't involve action is phony." And it goes down further to say in verse 26, "For just as the human body without the spirit is a dead corpse, so faith without the expression of works is dead." Right? So there must be some reason why the chapter asks us to go beyond just saying something. It's not enough for us to have these affirmations if we're not going to do anything and put any actions behind it. The Word of God also tells us that we know a tree by its fruit. So your actions are your fruit. So I'm going to ask you, do your actions actually match your affirmations? You might be answering that question with a yes. Well, actually, yes, I am doing something. I say my affirmations every day. Well, then I would ask you to go deeper than that and ask yourself, what else am I doing? Yes, I say my affirmations every day, or I write my affirmations every day. What else are you doing? Do your actions match your affirmations? Let's say I've created some affirmations for my career, right? So I might say, I am advancing my career. I have a career that I love. My dream job is on the way to me. But maybe my actions actually say that I'm waiting for God to drop this dream job in my lap. Maybe my actions say that I tend to turn down opportunities for advancement because I fear failure. My actions might actually say that I sign up for courses and workshops and seminars, but I never attend them or I never complete them. And so if your actions are not aligned with your affirmations, how effective do you think your affirmations are going to be? Maybe you're struggling with a spiritual thinking trap that God will do everything for you, or that nothing you do beyond the affirmations will be effective. And so if that's something that you struggle with, again, you might be struggling with a spiritual thinking trap. And what I will do is to link the two episodes where I've covered spiritual thinking traps more in depth to help you figure out if certain thoughts or thinking traps are getting in the way of you actually seeing some fruit from your affirmations. Part of putting some actions behind your affirmations is also to assess your coping skills. And you might be thinking, well, I don't really see how those two connect. But one of the big lessons that I've learned is the necessity of reviewing your coping skills to see if they are, one, unhealthy, or two, if they are outdated. Sometimes we develop coping skills that may be very effective for one season of our lives, but they're not that effective in another season or another situation, right? So let's say maybe in one season of my life, I really benefited from spending time with friends and calling my friends and asking for advice and really participating in high intensity exercise. But maybe now if I sit down and reflect, I might realize that I might benefit more from spending time alone to self-reflect and do activities and exercises that quiet my mind and my body, such as meditation and yoga or going for a walk. Okay, so when you evaluate your coping skills and realize that they are outdated, then what you can do is come up with a list of coping skills that will be more beneficial to you in that season. You don't have to keep the same coping skills, right? So if you have all of these affirmations, but yet your coping skills, which is also part of your actions, if those things are not benefiting you, then your affirmations won't really make that much of a difference for you. You may also examine your coping skills and realize the ones that you have are unhealthy, like excessive drinking or mindless eating, smoking, and isolating yourself. Then you'll need to exchange them for healthy coping skills so that you're doing things that complement your affirmations. So our first tip is to say them out loud and not just when you're in a certain mood. Our second tip is to put some actions behind it. Our third tip to maximize the effectiveness of your affirmations is to simply change your affirmations. Sometimes we think of change as an action where we just jump right in and start doing things, but we have not mentally and emotionally and spiritually prepared to make those changes. Other times we are making changes because other people say that we should or because everyone else is making changes. But deep inside, we don't see anything wrong with what we're doing. And we really have to identify what stage of change we're in so that we'll know the necessary changes that we need to make, right? So I want you to jot down this phrase so that you can do a little bit more research on it yourself through Google. And this phrase is stages of change. You've probably heard of it, but there are 5 basic stages of change, and I think they've added a 6th one, but for today, we'll just talk about 5. And this first stage of change is pre-contemplation. And this is where you may not see a problem at all, or you see a problem, but you've already decided you're not going to do anything about it. You don't want to change it. The second stage of change is contemplation. And you might say to yourself, okay, I realize this is an area that I might need to change, but I feel unsure whether I want to change it. Okay, so with the pre-contemplation, the person has decided either there is no issue or there is an issue and I'm not changing it. But in the contemplation phase, you're thinking about it, right? So you're contemplating whether you want to make some changes or not. If you move along to the third stage of change, which is preparation, you have acknowledged that this is an area that you need to work on and that you will make some changes. So in the preparation phase, you're just preparing. You haven't jumped in and done anything yet. You've just made some decisions and you're preparing to make some changes. In the action phase, it's self-explanatory. You are actively doing things to make some changes. And then the fifth stage, the maintenance phase, you're doing what you need to do to maintain the changes that you have made. The reason why I am bringing up these stages of change is because I think when we have created affirmations, we haven't really stopped to think about what we think about our behavior or what we think about the situation and whether or not we truly want to make changes. Let me give you an example. Let's say maybe you've been told that you have a bad attitude and you have an anger problem because you get mad over small things. And let's say maybe you have actually considered the fact that you blow up sometimes, but deep inside you don't see a problem with it because you're just telling it like it is. And you say you're not going to be fake. Or maybe you feel guarded and you think that everyone is out to get you. Well, do you think that an affirmation that says something like, I live in harmony with everyone, or I am free from anger, will be that effective in the long run? Probably not, right? But if we are able to be honest with ourselves and be realistic and say, you know what? Maybe I need to, in this one example, identify the pros and cons of being angry. So maybe once I do that, I say, you know what? I do feel better after telling it like it is and saying how I feel. But then I do realize that I've done some damage to people along the way, or other people may not respect me, but rather they fear me and they don't want to really be around me. So instead of just jumping in with this affirmation of living in harmony with everyone or that I'm free from anger, when really my heart isn't there yet, so then I would need to change my affirmations to meet myself where I am on the right stage of change. So instead of I am free from anger, the affirmation that I would create is I am capable of learning other ways to express anger, or I am learning to communicate with others respectfully, or God is teaching me to be authentic without offending others. Do you see the difference there? Where instead of me trying to will myself to be free of anger, which is not healthy or realistic, instead of trying to will myself with these types of affirmations, I'm meeting myself where I am based on my stage of change. Because maybe I'm in the contemplation phase. Maybe I'm in the preparation phase. Maybe I'm not actually in the action phase. So if your affirmation matches your stage of change, then I think you would actually see more benefits to your affirmations because it will be consistent, not just verbally, but it will also be consistent with what's in your heart. When you meet yourself at the right stage of change, you'll be more compassionate with yourself rather than getting frustrated that you're repeating these mantras without really getting to the core of the issue. And that brings us to our fourth and final tip to maximize the effectiveness of your affirmations. And that is get to the root of the problem. Get to the root of the problem. Saying affirmations is great, but they won't be effective if we haven't really explored and dug up the root of the problem. Let's work through a couple of examples to show you what I mean. One area that people create affirmations for is in the area of finances. So let's say you have some financial affirmations that say, I am prosperous and I have a positive attitude towards money. I am a generous person with my wealth. So those are your affirmations. I'm prosperous. I have a positive attitude towards money. I am a generous person with my wealth. And then my question would be, have you explored the origins of your current attitudes towards money? Maybe if you dig deep enough, you will recall in your childhood that your dad was so generous with money to everybody else, but nobody seemed to help him when he fell on hard times. Maybe your family struggled a lot with money, and now you have a fear of going back to that place, and so you save every dime that you get, and it's hard for you to enjoy the money that you've worked so hard for, or it's hard for you to give to causes that you're passionate about because you fear being poor again. So having affirmations like, I am prosperous and I have a positive attitude towards money, won't be that useful to you if you still have unresolved emotions in those areas. So instead, once we get to the root of the problem, maybe a more appropriate affirmation could be, God is healing the pain I stored from my childhood. God is healing the pain around finances I've stored around my childhood. I have wisdom to both save and enjoy my money. I have the ability to give to others and have what I need. You can also use scripture for your affirmations. If we're going with this one example, one affirmation or scripture that you can use comes from Proverbs 11:25. The Message version says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. So you can create affirmations out of scriptures. When I give to others, I will be blessed. When I give to others, I am blessed. Let's work through another example. Weight loss is another big category where people create affirmations. Let's say the affirmation is, I love to eat healthy. Every day I am losing weight. I appreciate how I look in my clothes. Well, those affirmations won't be that powerful or useful to me if the root is linked to something like unresolved sexual trauma. Let's say once I get to the root of the problem, I realize that I'm eating to keep myself from being attractive because I'm trying to prevent being raped again. I don't want anybody to find me attractive. Maybe if I get to the root of the problem, I realize that I have issues with boundaries. Instead of speaking up, I eat to stuff my feelings. And so, can't you understand now why some people may feel frustrated and confused or discouraged about their affirmations if they have not gotten to the root of the issue? So instead, I encourage you to get to the root of the issue by doing your inner work so you can identify the source of what got you here in the first place and then create affirmations that affirm the root of the issue. So if we go back to using this weight loss example, then more appropriate affirmations could be, I am more valuable than the number on the scale. I no longer punish myself for someone else's poor choices. I am grateful for the opportunity to honor my temple. I am learning to set boundaries when I need to instead of eating. So let's do a quick recap. of the four tips. The first one is to say them out loud and not just when you're in a certain mood. The second one is to put some actions behind it. The third one is to change your affirmations. And the fourth one is to get to the root of the problem. I hope those four tips have been helpful to you. If you need to listen to this episode again, please feel free to do so. If you have found any part of this episode helpful, share it with a friend or two. If your friends are also utilizing affirmations, share it with your friends. Post what you have learned and tag me at Dr. Q Perry on IG. If you have questions about anything that I've talked about or the tips that I've given today, also feel free to reach out to me at Dr. Q Perry on IG, or you can send me an email by visiting the show's website, www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let us move now into our prayer time. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity for me to come together today with my listeners on this podcast to teach as I learn. Thank you for giving me the ideas to help us all to maximize the effectiveness of our affirmations. You not only want us to affirm ourselves out loud, you also want us to put some works behind our faith. You also want us to put some actions behind what we are saying. You want us to examine our coping skills so that way we can do things that complement the affirmations and not doing things that work against the affirmations. I pray that as each listener processes the information, that you reveal to them their stage of change so that they can easily make adjustments to their affirmations as they need to. And finally, God, I pray that you help us to get to the root of our issues. Affirmations is only one part of our journey towards healing. We have lots of work to do. And I pray that you send us people on our journey to help us heal, help us to process the root of the issue, so that we can be effective for the work that you have us to do. We thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us and all the ones that you will bestow upon us. And it is in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That is our episode for today. I will be sure to link the scriptures that I referred to today, and I will also be sure to link the previous podcast episodes that I referenced in today's episode in the show notes. And until next time, take care.